Hello, friends. Denny Pruto here with a lesson on Westminster Shorter Catechism, question and answer 27. Wherein did Christ's humiliation consist? I have the answer in outline form on the whiteboard. Christ's humiliation consisted in his being born, and that in a low condition, made under the law, undergoing the miseries of this life, the wrath of God, and the cursed death of the cross, and in being buried, and undergoing the power of death for a time, more specifically, continuing under the power of death for a time. Christ's humiliation consisted in his being born. The great God of glory, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, determined to bring about the salvation of people like you and me. And so Jesus Christ, the second person of the Trinity, undertook to enter into this world by being born, as the Catechism says, by being born, or in his being born, and that in a low condition. The proof text is Luke 2 and verse 7. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. The second person of the Trinity left the greatness and glory of heaven, which is far above, and entered into the lower parts of the earth, as the Apostle Paul characterizes this world. This world amounts to the lower parts of the earth. The world is the lower parts of the earth because the world is a fallen domain, and it is a domain of darkness and not light. And Jesus Christ entered into this fallen, hostile world and did so by being born of the Virgin Mary. He entered into the world just like you. You enter the world by being born, and you were once a tiny baby, dependent upon your parents for all of your needs. The great God of glory, who is in absolute control of all things, condescended to enter this world as a baby, dependent upon Mary and Joseph for all of his well-being in this world. Imagine that this is the case. And our Lord Jesus Christ was not born of royalty in this world. He was not born a prince, the son of a great king. No, our Lord Jesus Christ was born of peasantry. He was born among the lower classes of individuals in this life. His father was a carpenter, a manual laborer, and of course Jesus Christ learned the trade of carpentry. And Luke chapter 2 and verse 7 tells us that Jesus Christ was wrapped in swaddling clothes, that is, in the wraps that were sometimes used for the dead. And he was placed in a manger, that is, the feeding trough for animals. That was his first bed, a very low condition and very low estate was our Lord Jesus born into. And then the Catechism teaches us, following scripture that he was made under the law. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4. God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law. And at least in three ways, Jesus Christ was made under the law. First of all, Jesus Christ was born into the little nation of Israel, a tiny nation, in many ways an inconspicuous nation compared to the other nations on the face of the earth. It was simply a province of the greater Roman Empire. But having been born into the nation of Israel, Jesus Christ was subject to the laws of Israel. He was subject to the ceremonial law and the civil law of the nation of Israel. And as I say, Jesus Christ was born into this province of the Roman Empire. And so there is an aspect of his life which was made under the law of Rome. And we'll see this later when we discuss more particularly the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. But because Jesus Christ was born into this world a true man, he had the law of God written in his heart, and he was made under the law as a rule of life, since the law was indeed written in his heart. And the Lord Jesus Christ was responsible before God to live out the Ten Commandments, the moral law of God. And he was to carry out the moral law of God in every aspect of his life. And then third, our Lord Jesus Christ was made under the law in that he was placed under the law as a covenant of works. In other words, Jesus Christ was placed under the law with the obligation to fulfill all of the law of God on behalf of his people. As you recall, Adam also was placed under the law as a covenant of works. Adam was commanded, "You shall not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Lest you eat from it, you will surely die." And the promise was that if Adam kept this commandment, Adam would achieve eternal life, life in heaven above. But Adam broke this covenant, which is called either the covenant of works or the covenant of life. And because Adam broke this covenant, Adam was placed under the curse of death. And you and I sinned in Adam and died with Adam. We too are under the wrath and curse of God because of Adam breaking the covenant of works. And we are also under the wrath and curse of God because we have broken the Ten Commandments in many different ways. The Catechism later says that we sin daily in thought, word, and deed. But now our Lord Jesus Christ comes along and he is made under the law. He is placed under the law as a covenant of works. And one of the first places we see this is the temptation or the testing of Jesus Christ in the wilderness, where the Spirit has sent Jesus Christ out into the wilderness and he was tempted or tested by the devil. But Jesus Christ said, in essence, during that period of testing. I love my father, devil, and I will not disobey my father. I will keep covenant with my father. And so Jesus Christ, as the Apostle Paul tells us, was obedient even unto the point of death. And so Jesus Christ was made under the law, and most importantly, he was placed under the law as a covenant of works to fulfill that law perfectly on behalf of you and me. And then he suffered the miseries of this life, because Jesus Christ was a man just like you are a man or a woman or a young person or a child. Jesus Christ suffered the same miseries you suffer in this life. The Catechism references Isaiah 53 and verse 3. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Yes, Jesus Christ experienced the loneliness of being rejected. He said, with regard to himself, a prophet is not without honor except in his own country and among his own people and among his own countrymen. He suffered rejection and loneliness. And when he gathered 12 disciples around him, they forsook him and ran from him and denied him openly and publicly. He was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows. Jesus Christ suffered the sorrow that you and I often suffer. He lost, for example, his good friend and companion, Lazarus. And the scriptures tell us Jesus wept. And it was not just that a couple of tears trickled down his cheek, but he was filled with the emotion of grief and sadness because of death overtaking Lazarus. And Jesus Christ suffered as he went before Pilate and was chastised and whipped and beaten. He suffered physical pain and the anguish that comes along with suffering physical pain. When he was lashed, he bled just like you bleed when you are cut with a razor or with a knife. And Jesus Christ suffered great agony and grief and a sense of abandonment when he was on the cross. Think of it, my friends. There he cried out, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" He felt abandoned by his Father because, as the Catechism puts it, he experienced the wrath of God on the cross. He was separated from the mercy and the love and the grace of God on the cross. And in darkness, he experienced the punishment of death on that cross. And he experienced the awful wrath of God against sin. He experienced that same wrath in the garden. He fell on his face in the garden and cried out to his Father, "Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me." And He was thinking of the cup of suffering, not only physical suffering, but the suffering he would undergo in experiencing the wrath of God. And as Jonathan Edwards so eloquently puts it, our Lord Jesus Christ looked into the blast furnace of the wrath of God and shuddered at the prospect of that which he was about to experience. Father, if possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. And so it was that Jesus Christ suffered the wrath of God and the cursed death of the cross. And the Catechism here references Philippians 2:8, to which I alluded just a moment ago. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death of the cross. And so it was that Jesus Christ went to the cursed death of the cross. The Old Testament says, cursed is he who is hanged on a tree. The body of infidels, having been hanged on a tree, was a sign of the fact that these individuals were cursed of God. And the people of old, under the command of Joshua, when they went into the promised land, were commanded to kill all of the men and women and children in particular cities and communities. And then the king's body was hanged on a tree, or hanged on the gate of the city, as an indication of the fact that the reason for the destruction was the vengeance of God, the curse of God, because of sin. It is kind of like what happened in the Old West when the body of a known criminal was put in an open casket and put on display in front of the sheriff's office to remind individuals of the fact that the penalty for murder is death. And all of the community was reminded of this penalty. And we too ought to be reminded that the wages of sin is death. And so Jesus Christ went to the cursed death of the cross, and he died on that cross and was buried. At death, he said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And at the point of death, there is a separation of body and spirit, or body and soul. And the spirit or soul of Jesus Christ went immediately into the presence of his Father, and his body was placed in the grave. This is what happens to you and me as Christians. At death, there is a separation of body and soul, or body and spirit. And your soul, made perfect in holiness, passes immediately into the presence of Christ. And your body rests in the grave, waiting for the resurrection. And this is what the next piece of the Catechism means. And continuing under the power of death for a time. That is, Jesus Christ languished in this circumstance of the separation of his human soul from his human body. And this is the state of death into which you and I will also enter. And as the Catechism says, he was under the power of death for a time. And continuing under the power of death for a time, Matthew chapter 12 and verse 40, as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And so Jesus Christ awaited the resurrection in the state of death. And on the third day, he rose again from the grave. Hallelujah. Why did Jesus Christ undergo this humiliation? He was born in a low condition. You and I are born in a low condition. You and I are made under the law. That is, we are under the specific laws of the country into which we are born. We are born with the law of God resident in our hearts, the law written in our hearts, although it is blemished and tarnished, it bubbles up, and we are responsible before God to live in accordance with the moral law of God. But more importantly, we come into this world under the curse of death because we died in Adam and sinned in Adam. And we are under the curse of death. And we are subject to all of the miseries of this life. And we are subject to the awful wrath of God for sin. As we've said, the wages of sin is death. And the prospect for each of us is eternal death in hell, experiencing forever the wrath of God. This is the curse of death under which you and I are placed because of the sin of Adam, our federal head, our representative in the covenant of works in the garden long ago. And when we die, we enter into the state of death, and our bodies are in the grave awaiting the resurrection. But praise be unto God, Jesus Christ the Lord came into the world, and he suffered the awful wrath of God and the curse of death in the place of you and me. And because he lived a perfect life under the moral law of God, keeping the law of God perfectly, and because he paid the penalty of the covenant of works, the wrath of God and death, you and I, through faith in Jesus Christ, are now set free. Why did Jesus Christ enter into such a full humiliation? It was for the sake of you and me, and that we, because of what he has done, might trust in him and receive full reconciliation with God and enter not into hell, but into the precincts of heaven. Wherein did Christ's humiliation consist? Christ's humiliation consisted in his being born, and that in a low condition, made under the law, undergoing the miseries of this life, the wrath of God, and the cursed death of the cross, and in being buried, and continuing under the power of death for a time. Thank you, Jesus Christ, for your suffering such a great humiliation for the likes of me. Thanks for listening.